Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Well, welcome back, all of our baby boomer buddies, to your favorite podcast, the one that's made just for you, Another Day Above Ground. This is where we talk about things that are important to us. And that's important because nobody else listens to us. So we have to listen to each other. And when I say we, of course, I'm referring to my two partners joining us from the great state of Denver. Not that Denver's not a state. Not the great state of Colorado. That's what I meant to say. Carolyn Strauss.
Hey, everybody. Well, Red Rocks Amphitheater. If you've never been to a concert out here, you should go. It's amazing. And they have updated all kinds of stuff, especially the water fountains. They were talking about that on the news today. It's very odd.
Updated the water fountains in a place you go to hear music.
Yes.
Doesn't that interfere with the music?
No, not fountains, like places where you go fill your water bottles. They made them those new funky ones.
I've been there. I don't remember any, you know, Las Vegas water fountains going on.
We don't have any water out here. Remember, it's Colorado.
There you go. Anyhow, from Indiana, on the path of totality, please welcome the legendary Aristotle of comedy, Tim Slagle.
It could be Copernicus this week. Copernicus of comedy. Red Rocks, it sounds like something Scooby-Doo is saying, doesn't it?
You've been to concerts out here, though, both of you guys, right?
No.
That might be, we might have to make that
Never
happen.
Been to Red Rocks, Rowland.
Cute.
Well, you know, it's, as you guys are all aware of out in listener land, about 3 weeks ago, a big swath of the country, that's the first time I've ever used the word swath, but a big swath of the country experienced a total solar eclipse. And, it was a heck of an experience. I saw one 7 years ago, and it was amazing. And Tim was lucky enough to be, or to go to, the what was called the Path of Totality, where you could see the total solar eclipse. I lived, you know, a little bit west of there. I was on the Path of Polarity, which means that if you drink enough during the eclipse, you'll see all kinds of stuff. So
and eventually black out.
There you go. So Tim, what was it like? I want to hear what you thought.
It's we went about 4 hours south. It's I saw a chart that actually it was the coolness of the eclipse versus the amount of totality, and it's got like 99%. And someone's saying, "Well, we're close enough." it's not even because when you know you could see daylight even when it was just a more than a sliver of the
right.
Of the eclipse.
Guy I heard on the radio was explaining is that the difference between a total eclipse and 99% is that at 99%, it is 10,000 times brighter than on a total eclipse.
Yeah. It's quite amazing. We stopped at a Mennonite grocery store. There was a big parking lot. There was a bunch of people there all out to see it because we kind of wanted to do it where there was a bit of a crowd. And it was the sky got dark. It was it was Indiana, so we had 360 degrees of horizon. So we got to see that sunset sky all the way around. And
right, cool.
Saw the stars and planets come out. And I watched it a little too long because when the diamond ring thing happens, that's when it first the sun first breaks over the edge.
I
was still staring at it. And
without the glasses.
I can't see so good out of the right eye anymore. Yeah. But it was totally worth it.
Yeah, as suddenly as it gets dark, that's how suddenly it gets bright again on the other side.
Yeah.
But my good friend lives in Southern Illinois, which is where we went in 2017 to see the total eclipse. So this is their second one, And I went to, you know, told him I'd like to come down and stay with you to see this one. And I said, no, his wife said, no, now it's already booked. Her parents wanted to see it this time. Wow. So I talked to him. I said, how was it? He said, I told my father-in-law, I said, when it gets real dark, the birds will stop singing, which is true, and all the crickets will come out. And he goes, no, get out. He said, yeah, it's true. So when it got perfectly dark, all the birds did stop singing, and he had a cricket sound effects on his phone that he just turned up real loud.
Yeah, no crickets. So, no crickets in April.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
If you waited a couple weeks, you'd have cicadas, though.
They're coming in. They should be on their way soon. Two master broods, which is going to result in, you know, a cicada in every pot. You know, the guys are coming out with cooking recipes for eating cicadas, which, you know, I'd have to be real, real hungry.
They're supposed to taste like shrimp, which is not surprising because they're closely related. You know,
are they really?
Yeah.
No, shrimp live in the water.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's the same kind of animal.
Okay, I have an idea. I have a business making idea for you. Right, cicadas are crunchy, right? Aren't they? Don't they have like that crunchy shell, if I remember?
Well, you boil them and peel that off, just like
No. I mean, it, when they're alive, they have a crunchy shell.
Crunchy.
And
yeah,
then when they die, they stay crunchy, right?
Yeah. And when you step on them, they're crunchy.
Right. So get a whole bunch of coconuts and cut a hole in them, put a bunch of cicadas in, plug up the hole, and you got maracas for everybody. It's a business idea.
Okay, you work.
Why don't you take that to those guys on TV? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm out.
You let the Shark Tank. I'll tell you what they think of that.
Well,
idea.
They're alive.
They're gonna say, Carolyn, maracas. I'm out, but could you show me those maracas?
While they're alive and they're all in the coconut, then the maracas would be automatic. Like the sound would happen all by themselves. And then after they die, you just shake them. And you could, if it's a way to make musical instruments for kids who don't have them. I'm just thinking of the children.
Mm-hmm. So it's a rock in a tin can.
I never thought of that. Wow.
And I would guess the kids that couldn't afford maracas probably have a lot more cans around the house than coconut shells.
There you go. So Tim, since you were in Amish country, did any of them, you know, do anything special?
Sacrifice a virgin or anything?
But you know, some religions, I don't know exactly which sects, were equating this with the next great big bang, and it was the end. And
except for the long dresses and bonnets, I wouldn't even, you know, and the funny beards, I wouldn't even have known. It just there was like a grandpa that had prepared a box for his kids to stick their heads in and see the projection of that with a pinhole. It was perfectly normal, except for the clothes were a little bit different. And I think I didn't see there were no horse carts or
Mennonites.
Yeah, Mennonites. They're all cars.
Right. Yeah, but so Dale, did you go outside and look at it from where you were? How much of the sun got covered where you were?
Well, they said it was, you know, 95%, wow. But the only changes that I noticed was the sky, and this was 2:00 in the afternoon, the sky looked like it was about 6:30. You know, it got a little bit darker, and I felt the temperature drop a few degrees. But other than that, you know, there was no complete darkness until I, what do they call it, passed out.
Right. Well, I am at my house. We had 65% because I'm in Colorado. So we had a 65% covering of the sun. So I went, I had my glasses and went outside and watched, and it was still really cool. I mean, it's like looking at the moon. It's like looking at a sliver moon, but it's actually the sun. That is very cool.
Looking at a cookie with a bite out of it.
Yes.
But no, when it got dark, I could see the Bailey's beads. Do you know what those are?
Yes.
They're little for the listeners who might not. There's like valleys on the moon, and the sunlight escapes around them, and it's red. So it looked like red airport lights on the surface of the moon all around the edge. And then at the bottom, there was one distinct solar flare that you could see that was very bright when it was covered. It was something.
A guy I know in Cleveland who's a comic but also a semi, I guess, professional photographer posted the pictures that he took, and he took like 19 of them as it started, you know, into the totality. Mm-hmm. And in the totality, he got some nice solar flares and the red diamonds or whatever they're called. So that's cool.
I did not want to do that because I wanted to see it.
I did not want to be messing with it. Like nowadays, are you busy looking at your phone or are you looking at the experience? That's one of the biggest challenges that everybody has. Like you go to a concert, nobody's watching the concert. People are watching their phones. Then just stay home and watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, wait. Yeah, have one of your friends send you the concert.
Yeah.
One of your friends who was stupid enough to pay for the ticket.
That was the one comment I saw on the news after the eclipse where the guy said, "This is the largest crowd of people I've ever been among, and none of them being on their phone."
Huh. I can't believe more people weren't pointing their phone at the thing. It was I was among Mennonites, so
the people that did point their phone at the sun too early, they're out in line now getting a new phone. So what do we have next coming up? Memorial Day is really not, I guess, the next, well, May Day, but, you know, that's only good if you're in trouble, I think.
Or a communist.
Or communist, yeah. And then Mother's Day.
Wait, stop. I need to ask the Aristotle something. Why is May Day important if you're a communist?
You don't know about May Day?
I do not.
That's like the big celebration of the People's Revolution. It's always communist countries always have big parades and stuff on May 1st.
Yeah. You decorate the maypoles.
I've heard of maypoles, but I didn't think they had anything to do with communism. I thought it was a dancing thing.
It is. It doesn't have anything to do with communism.
But I don't know if it celebrates like the first
labor,
communist.
I think, isn't it?
I don't know if it's the first communist, but why May 1st, I do not know. I don't know if it was the first communist revolution or something like that, but all the communist countries celebrated it, and they pull out all their, you've seen the pictures of it, you just didn't know that was May Day. With the pictures of all the, you know, Kim Jong-un standing there, or whatever his name is now, standing there waving while all the rockets go by, and then the tanks.
I've seen that. That was on May 1st.
Yeah, it's always May 1st. And then
the slow
march that looks so painful.
Yeah. Okay, good to know. I had no idea. All right, well, thank you for the history lesson. We can move on now to whatever you want to talk about, Dale.
I forget what I was talking about.
Mother's Day.
Oh, Mother's Day. That's it. Yeah. That's coming up. And that's like, at least it used to be more long-distance telephone calls made on Mother's Day than any other day. But this was in the day before, you know, the cell phone, when a long-distance call was something special. But now I think, you know, people talk to their moms every other day or so, I guess. I don't know.
Do you remember putting on the timer so you didn't get carried away? That you would set the timer so you would know how long you talked? Because there was a tendency to forget that you were being charged by the minute.
Yeah.
And I still remember sitting in a bar, and there was a woman who worked there. She worked there part-time so she'd have a social life. She worked AT&T during the day. And she said, "I can see in the future that long distance will be free." And I went, "What?" And she said, "Oh no, it's a very unprofitable sector for AT&T right now." And she said, "I'm almost positive that you'll just pay like a once a month hookup, and all the calls will be unlimited." And I went, "No way."
Wow, did you ask her for her stock picks?
Well, she could see the future, so she got far away from me.
Well, we were supposed to also have flying cars by now, according to the Jetsons, and so I'm still waiting for those.
Wait, but speaking of the Jetsons, we're doing the Jetsons right now. Don't you remember when Jane would have phone calls and the little TV thing would come down and she'd do a video call? That was totally the future. And we're sitting here, and not only are there two of us, but there are three of us all seeing each other's faces doing this call. We are living in the Jetsons.
But none of us is a robot maid bringing me a beer. So.
That is so upsetting. But, okay,
none of us is living. None of us is living in a house that looks like the Seattle Space Needle. That's my big disappointment. I really wanted that.
Yeah, that was a very it's like the. Some people have been citing the different Simpsons episodes as foretelling the future by different things that have been happening, which is really kind of weird that would happen.
You know what else we don't have? We don't have a robot that vacuums and makes sarcastic remarks. We got the Roombas that vacuum, but they don't talk. They're not sassy.
Your cell phone on top of the Roomba, put in one of those AIs and say, "Be sassy to me." You've got a Roomba, you've got a vacuum sassy.
Have you ever asked Siri or Alexa to tell you a joke?
Yes.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's Rosie. Rosie was a lot funnier.
Rosie was written by people.
Well, no, I have a feeling that these jokes are written by people too, but they're people that work for Amazon or Apple. So
and they're the only ones taking notes when their drunken uncle is around, you know. Oh, that's funny, we can use that joke. Oh yeah, the future that was laid out for us, I think it's slowly starting to come to pass, and pretty soon, you know, well, it will get to the end, but nobody knows when that's going to be, so you know what the heck.
Every flying car.
Yeah, every couple of years you have someone and they'll come out with something and say, "Is this it? Is this the flying car we've been waiting for?" And they said, you know, "The FAA is ready to approve." And then, you know, 2 years later, nothing.
And, you know, would it be like a helicopter type car, or would it be a little mini car with wings?
I think
wings,
it'll be a drone shaped like a horse, and you get on it and you ride it. So it's the past meets the future.
No, I've seen, like I said, I've been following it for a while. So there's several things. There's cars with wings that fold alongside of them, so they look kind of like a cicada, to kind of bring it back.
They're crunchy too.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then I've seen, I saw one, it was a jet motorcycle. That looked really cool, and they swore that was going to be out in 2 years. And it's
thinking about jets. Where the heck is my jetpack?
Mm-hmm.
Those exist now, right? I don't know anybody who has one. I want one.
You can actually, if you're in Chicago, for like $50, you can strap one on.
A jetpack, that is.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I got confused.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. Yeah. It's I know guys that'll let you do the other one for free.
No, seriously, Tim, what? You can go to a place and put on
the lake,
a jetpack?
Go into the lake. Yeah. You go into the lake. And they're not like what you saw on Gilligan's Island, where it was an actual jet engine with jet fuel and stuff like that. It's connected with a hose to a jet ski. And they get like a fire hose and connect the jet ski to the exhaust of a jet ski, and then they strap it on your back and they rev it up and let you shoot in the air or fly around the lake. And there's a place that rents them. So come to Chicago, you can do it.
I remember I would crash and fall into the water and get very wet. But
well, you start in the water. I mean, it's a water thing. Of course you're going to be wet.
You want to be in the lake in Chicago? Is that clean?
Yeah.
They are having, I'll tell you, my friend, they are having this year a competitive swim in the Chicago River.
Yep.
You know, it might, the people say, oh, no, it's too dirty. I mean, dirty. But either way, they would be right. And but they say
no, that's the time it's going to start is too dirty. Chicago, after all.
And they say, oh, no, we've got most of the bad stuff out of it, enough for swimmers, you know, so.
They say as long as you don't, they say as long as you don't touch the bottom. So you don't want to touch the, yeah, I know.
That's where all the corpses are.
I was gonna say, you know, there's a hand touching my ankle. What is happening?
But the lake is extremely clean. Yeah. The lake is extremely clean because one of the reasons that they built the locks was the river used to flow into the lake, and everybody's sewage would flow into the river, into the lake. So they made the lock so that the lake is now higher than the river, so that the lake flushes out the river and makes it flow backwards.
Yep.
So there's another little historical tip for you.
So we suck water from Green Bay and flush it out to Joliet.
And what about hovercraft? So I seem to remember when I was 30, a friend talking about you could build a hovercraft in your garage and you could hover it over any ground. I mean, it didn't go very high, right? But it hovered over the ground and went. Did you guys ever see that?
I had a buddy that lived on the corner that built one. That actually bought the instructions. I saw them once, and it sort of worked.
They're available now too. They're available, you know, to the public. They look kind of like a little mini rollerboard, and yeah, they float.
Well, this essentially what it was is it was like an airplane propeller and a lawnmower engine, and put canvas all around this. Could get like a plywood disc. And then put canvas all around, stapled canvas all around the edge so that it would seal with the ground. And then he'd start the lawnmower, and it actually came up off the ground. It was. He never drove it around or anything. I saw him once going down the street in it, and it was pretty cool.
We should be having all these things now. We should have all these fun things now.
Well, people say, no, no, we want to keep all of our fingers. We don't want to do anything like that.
That's funny. It's the first time we've ever used that joke, not on 4th of July. That's good.
Really? That's the first time you've talked about having all your fingers?
Since 4th of July.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So, anyhow, I've run out of things to say.
Oh my God! Should we take you to a doctor? That has never happened.
We've seen a total Dale eclipse there.
Wow! Total eclipse of the brain. That has never happened before.
Okay, I'm coming back out of it. But yes, that was a total eclipse of the mind. Wow, that's what kind of happened before in college, but it had nothing to do with the planets. Anyhow, now see, I forget what I was going to. I got to take that Prevagen. It's sitting out there. We are. It's almost time.
Are you forgetting to take your Prevagen? Is that the problem?
I can't remember to take that stuff. I don't even know where I put it. You know, it's in one of the cupboards. I don't know where I put it, but I'm going to have to start writing myself notes. Anyhow.
They should put a little bell or a beeper on the Prevagen and have it beep every day at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon when you're eating your lunch so that you remember to take it.
That's actually,
another fabulous business idea.
That's actually not a bad idea, really.
Thank you.
The microchips are affordable. Is that you could have one of those tackle boxes that you put your pills in.
Oh, yeah, I got that.
You could have like LEDs and beepers. Attached to the, that is really not a bad idea, Carolyn. I guarantee if you could make that, it would be more profitable than this podcast.
No, nothing's profitable in this podcast, Tim. That's not possible.
It would be almost as profitable as the coconut shell maracas.
Hey!
But it's that time, boys and girls, time to play a game. As you know, every week at this time, we play a round of Boom Again. It's a board game made for baby boomers, and it's kind of like Trivial Pursuit, except you shouldn't know all the answers because you lived through them. So every week, we ask three questions, and if you answer them correctly, we'll send you a game. And Carolyn, would you tell them, please, where to send their answers?
Sure. Email us at anotherdayabovegroundshow@gmail.com. Give us the questions, give us your answers, and if you're right, we'll send you a game.
There you go. So it's three questions. I'll get your, oh no, first I'll give you the answers to last week's questions. Last week we asked the question, in Drive My Car, the Beatles talked about a wannabe star of the screen. How many beeps did they sing before the word yeah?
Four,
exactly. Beep, 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 beep,
beep,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Beep, beep.
Then we asked, name the hip and talented guy who drew cartoons for Playboy magazine and also authored the sweet and friendly child classic, The Giving Tree.
That would be Shel Silverstein.
Absolutely, it would be Shel Silverstein.
He wrote two of my favorite books. Wait a minute, The Big O and The Missing Piece Meets The Big O. They're two of my favorite books.
I imagine they're at least two of your favorite titles.
does that have anything to do with The Giving Tree?
Yes, it's a series.
The Giving Stump. Anyhow, our third question last week was, quote, avoid missing ball for high score, end quote, was the basic on-screen instruction. What was the so appropriate title for the 1974 game that looked like table tennis?
Pong.
Pong, of course, pong. Okay, well, here's our questions for this week, kids. So grab your pencil, your crayon, any writing implement, and jot these down so that you can then send in your answers. Carolyn, one more time, let them know where to send them in.
Email us at anotherdayabovegroundshow@gmail.com.
All right, these are a little tricky this week, but you should know the answers. Number one, what snack came in a black box with absurd copy, like, quote, turn the box upside down. If they fall out, this is the bottom. If nothing happens, this box is empty, end quote. What candy came in boxes that had that weird sayings on it like that? Our second question, what nickname was given to the zealous followers of the charismatic leader of the Unification Church?
Oh, got that one.
Nickname. And our third one, which one happened first, the invention of the birth control pill or the debut of Leave It to Beaver?
Which one are we more grateful for?
Well, they're both, you know, when you think
how
about
are those
it, they're
connected?
Both beaver-related questions.
It. How are those connected?
It's
they're
a
not.
Beaver
the question is, which one happened first, the debut of the pill or the debut of Leave It to Beaver? At the TV show, I'm assuming they mean. So if you know.
I'm hoping not to give it away, but that's kind of what people said before the invention of the pill, isn't it?
Leave it. It's Beaver.
Well, if you can't wait to get the game from us, you can go to boomagain.com. Sorry, I had all kinds of other things in my head. I had to go. All right. My God. The jokes
a head
in
full
my
of
head
beavers, she does.
They were really funny. Okay. Go to boomagain.com and in. When you're checking out, when you buy your game, in the promo code, put 10ADAG, that's 10ADAG, and courtesy of us, you can get 10% off the cost of your game.
And there you go. What other podcast is going to give you a deal like that? Well, there probably are others, but this is the only one that can give you a deal on that game. So Anyhow, my friends, thank you so much for wasting your last half hour with us. Time you'll never get back, so we hope we made it useful and informative for you. Before we go, Carolyn, do you have any final words for the kids?
Yeah, enjoy your Mother's Day, enjoy your Memorial Day, and no, go to carolynstrauss.com if you want to know if I actually exist, because that's the only evidence that that's true.
Okay. All right, and you know, look for the good pictures when you go there.
Right. So,
Tim, anything to say?
TimSlegel.com is where you can find out if I exist.
And if you go to DaleIrvin.com, you'll find out that I don't exist at all. But I have numerous personalities. That's why people say he's good people. Anyhow, go to my DaleIrvin.com, sign up for the Friday Funnies. I'll make you laugh in your email every single Friday. And also visit AnotherDayAboveGround.com. It's got all of our episodes. It's got information about us. And you can sign up all your friends. Have a wonderful time. Whatever you do the rest of today, remember to enjoy it, because today is another day above ground.
And that's it for another day above ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.